Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So today it is Valentine's Day, and we are a bit unclear about the origins of the day, but it has become synonymous with love, red roses, and chocolates. It seems that we're destined to celebrate romantic love, but what is it, and how do you go about meeting your recherche, your meant-to-be person? Casey Shevel is a matchmaker and the founder of Casey's Schmingles, a space for single Jews to meet and mingle in a relaxed environment. Casey, I'm happy to have you back on the show, although the last time you were here was a good while ago. How are you?
Thank God. All great. I can't believe that it was actually so long ago already. It doesn't feel like it.
So some things change, some things stay the same. What is happening in Jewish dating sectors at the moment?
So, yeah, a lot has stayed the same. I will say that in that people are looking for love. People are looking for connection. People are looking for companionship. And people are looking to start their lives with families and partners and growth. And none of that has changed. How people are looking for it and where they're looking, maybe that's possibly changed in this crazy world that we live in. But I would say that I'm probably busier than ever. January, I find November, funnily enough, and January are my two busiest times. November being before everyone's going on holiday and everyone's making plans. And I think people are starting to think, well, they wish they kind of had someone to go with. And so people are like scurrying in November to meet with me, which is a bit difficult because I'm also scurrying to just get out of Joburg. And then January, it's kind of like your gym contract. Okay, this is my year, 2025. I'm ready. I'm here. And everyone wants to meet with me, which is amazing. And I love that. But I also need to get my kids into school and make sure that they've got glue. We're just trying to balance and just trying to help whoever we can, whenever we can.
You mentioned that the need to meet is the same, love is the same, but the way we meet is different. And I think probably even 5 years ago, it was becoming more and more common to meet online. But now I think internationally, worldwide, it is recognized that young people are more likely to meet someone online than any other way. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do think so. Well, I mean, I do think so. And the truth is that I welcome any form of like making this easier. That's actually what I do and why I do this is I just know this is such a difficult journey. So I'm here to just try and make it easier. And it is actually about spreading a wider net. And if you can meet online, that's amazing. And, you know, obviously everyone's first prize is to just meet organically over a Shabbos table or at a Woolworths, like, you know, at the Woolworths veggies, and he looks out and she looks over and across the notches, they find each other. But I mean, that's not everyone's story. And so however this blessing can come into your life, just welcome it, really.
So Casey, it's not everybody's, but that is the kind of ideal of romantic love. How often does that actually happen, and how long lasting will it, is it an indication of it being long lasting?
Well, I don't know, Charisse. In my experience, very seldom. And do we believe in love at first sight? Dr. D always speaks about lust at first sight. You know, that's not love. That's lust. You see someone over the whatever. That's, you know, that's just an instant attraction, and that's exciting and wonderful. And if it happens for you, great, go for it. I'm all for that. But I think for most of us, it isn't really that. And it, you know, and also I think if everyone's just honest about their love and how they find their happily ever after, then it would make those who are still searching for it a bit more realistic, a bit more able to manage their expectations, and a bit less hard on themselves when they're not feeling an instant connection with someone. And they think like, well, what's wrong with them? Why aren't they feeling more? I think a lot of this is actually just about people being honest. people who are in relationships being honest about how they met. You know, sometimes people hide the fact that they met through a matchmaker or they met at one of my events. You know, I run speed dating events and singles events. They're people that have gotten married and I know they met in my kitchen and they won't even greet me when they see me because they're like, well, you know, they don't even remember. They don't want to even go there. So it's quite interesting. I think if everyone's just honest and open, then it makes it easier for the next guy to find their you know, their happy ending.
That is such an interesting story. And thanks for sharing it, because I think just talking about it makes people more honest. And it's okay. You know, it's okay not to have met over the Nazis and Woolworths.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The flattering of the eye.
Well, absolutely. Romantic love is wonderful. And, you know, we're talking on Valentine's Day and a day where, you know, red roses and heart-shaped stuff prevails. And I'm for that. I love anything heart-shaped. I'm all about it and I embrace it. But at the end of the day, you know, I tell my clients that, like, what is marriage really and what is relationships really? I've got, although I'm such a romantic, I've got a very unromantic view of relationships and actually what relationships really are is about having someone who can just witness life with you, who just is a witness to your life and knows that at 10 o'clock you've taken the dry cleaning and you had a meeting with a friend at 12 and to say, well, how did the meeting go? And yeah, the kids need new school shoes. And someone who just knows that, who just follows that journey and actually cares what your day entails, no matter how mundane that is, actually.
So let's talk about the concept of romantic love versus matchmaking, which is something perhaps our grandparents and great-grandparents would have experienced. Yes. What are your feelings on romantic love versus matchmaking?
So the truth is that someone can tick every single box of what you're looking for in a partner. And when you meet them, that can fall flat. So there's a lot to be said about a one-on-one, face-to-face, whatever. You can have all of these lofty ideas. I mean, I actually only allow my clients when they're telling me what they're looking for. They can tell me 100,000 things that this girl or this guy needs to be. And then I tell them, we unfortunately are going to whittle it down and you only get three. You only get to tell me three things that you are really looking for. And attraction is a given. I say, I won't introduce you to someone that I don't feel is attractive, but you might not find them attractive and that's fine. But please don't tell me what you find attractive. I've learned my lesson that I don't want to actually hear that from anybody, not guys or girls. And I think that people are getting in their own way. So I think if they can, if you do have a matchmaker or someone who's trying to set you up, to maybe just open your heart and your mind to a bit of a different perspective. And if you can't do that, then don't bother actually seeing, you know, going to see someone for help. Because if you're stuck in your own head and your own heart in what you want, and you're not like malleable and pliable and just a bit more fluid, you're going to have a really hard time. And you're going to have a hard time actually finding the right person. You could be standing in your own way of your own happiness, really.
Jewish Matchmakers, it was on Netflix, found quite an interesting. And kind of what you say resonates because, you know, when people are like, what do you want for a guy? I want him to have thick, bushy eyebrows. And you think, okay, well, the guy you're with is really nice.
So I got a lot of phone calls, Gar. I got a lot of questions about that show. And I think Alize is lovely. I think she represented Matchmakers beautifully. She's got a lovely energy. And I thought she was quite a Kiddush Hashem, actually. Having said that, did I watch the whole thing? No. Because I kind of said it's like you being a dentist and then going home to watch a reality show on dentistry. And the truth is, it's that accurate, and it's actually as wild as everyone thought it was, that, oh, these people are asking for all these unrealistic things. That's actually what matchmaking is. You sit there and you listen to people say some really mad things, and regardless of where they fit into the world or where they, whatever, they have this idea. So actually, I found that Really, I mean, that was actually very real that people are asking for mad things and so much out of one person, which I think is actually my biggest challenge as a matchmaker is just, I think if you're looking for your other half or you're looking for a partner in life and someone who's your equal, you have to have a very good idea of who you actually are. And people, unfortunately, are struggling to know exactly who they are. And therefore, it's very hard to find a partner or an equal to them because they don't have a self-awareness.
Casey, there's so much we can chat about, but I do
Yeah.
want to ask you about the current Jewish community. And is it difficult to meet? Is the pool getting smaller? Do you
Yes.
are we going
Yes.
global? Can you tell me a little bit
So
about
it
where we're
is.
at?
There's a small pool, and the South African Jewish community is shrinking. We know that. And so people will say, oh, well, they know, is there anyone out there that they don't know? Not, yes, I'm sure that there is. And the truth is they don't need 20 guys that they don't know. They actually just need one. They just need one right guy. So should you look in internationally? Well, if you really feel that you do and you feel like you have a gut feel and an instinct that you have to get out of here, then you need to do that. Unless you really feel that, then I feel, then I don't think you should. I'm not very big on dating globally. I don't like to do it. I get people calling me every week that they just flew in for a few days for a wedding and whatever. Can I set them up? And actually, every time I've reneged on my thing and said, okay, yeah, I will actually come and see you. You can come and see me. I've been burned so many times by that. It's like, so I'd prefer not to do it, but I do feel that, you could meet someone anywhere. So you do have to kind of open up any avenue and open up any channels to bracha that you can. If you feel that you need a date overseas or go overseas to date, and you feel that you can be in a happy, good space, that person will recognize you even because you won't be such a misery living in a basement somewhere, like trying to figure it out, then go for it. And if you feel that you are happy where you are and you don't want to do that, that's also fine. This is your journey at the end of the day.
What has your success rate been?
Well, we've had 20 weddings, which is
A
lovely.
lot more than
Yeah.
the Netflix series.
And so the truth is that because I've always worked predominantly in the irreligious market, more of a secular market, I think that my success rate is lower because people date for a long time or they move in together and then they break up. Whereas I think is if you're working predominantly in a religious environment, you've got guys that are willing and girls that are willing, and it's just about actually matching them up. And it is a much more streamlined process. They're both looking to get married. They're both looking to settle down. They're not looking to date for a very long time. They generally come a little bit younger, so they maybe have fewer less expectations, and they're a bit less rigid. So it isn't, it's definitely an easier community to work in, and I'm dabbling in both. I work in both. I just think because people are really struggling to meet, so they're trying wherever they can. And also, it's not just about a matchmaker matching you up. There's also such a thing as a shidduch with your matchmaker. You want to be able to speak to someone and be vulnerable with someone who you trust. So to find that is, you can't just have one person that's doing that for an entire community.
I wish we had more time, but we don't. If anybody would like
Yeah.
to get hold of you.
They can find me on Facebook. It's Casey Garbashevel. And they can follow Casey Schmingles and they're welcome to, we're going to be running an event, please God, in the next month or two. Going to do a beautiful big Friday night dinner. So that's my next thing that I'm working on. If people are interested about hearing more about it, they can just contact me on Facebook. I'm pretty good with it. I'll get back to them.
Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope you have a good Shabbat this Friday. And I'm looking forward to our next chat, Casey.
Okay, great. Thanks, Cherise. God bless. Thanks for the
That's
opportunity.
absolute pleasure. That's Casey Shevel, and she's the founder of Casey Schmingles, and we are talking about love.